Let's welcome Diane. Can we do that?
Good morning. A couple days ago, David asked me if I would just give an update about what's going on at Thrive and the opportunities that I have to do ultrasounds there. And of course, it's hard to say no to my pastor husband, so here I am. I'm going to make this brief just because I really look forward to hearing the other speakers that are here. As you know, Thrive is a pro-life ministry in the St. Louis greater metropolitan area. And they are a pro-life ministry, and they have a variety of services that they offer to the community. It's a wonderful ministry, and I am so blessed be able to be part of it. As you know, about 16 months ago, I began volunteering as a client advocate for Thrive. And then about a year ago, I went through ultrasound training that was put on by Alliance for Life, and it was held in Springfield, Missouri. And I was trained to do ultrasounds for first trimester. And many of you supported me financially and prayerfully, and I really greatly appreciate it. a little bit about Thrive. They just offer a variety of different services. They actually have a sexual integrity program. It's called Best Choice. That arm of Thrive Ministry is exploding. And that particular aspect of the ministry is going to just many, many high school, public high school, Christian high schools, and even middle schools around the area with a challenge for young people to abstain from sex. And they speak their language, so they have also partnered with a drama ministry called Breakdown, and it's amazing what they do. And I have not ever seen one of their productions are their programs, but I've just heard wonderful things about them. The other things that Thrive offers is, number one, we really try to help support the woman that is in a crisis pregnancy or that is experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. And the services available to them are many. They can come to our services. All our services are free and confidential. We offer free pregnancy testing, ultrasounds for first trimester. We offer a variety of resource classes. These classes equip these women in their situations to learn to be godly parents. As you know, I was 26 when I had my first baby, and I did not feel equipped to do this job. And you can imagine coming in and into... I actually work at the center in St. Peter's. There are four centers. There's one in the city on Lindell. There's one in North County, one in South County, and I volunteer at the one in St. Charles. And it's amazing how many young people, how many teen women, teen young girls come to that center. And they haven't a clue what they're getting into. And so the resource classes provide an opportunity to equip them with the tools they need. We offer classes like parenting classes, child development classes, finance and budgeting classes, classes on goal setting and decision making, and classes just on healthy relationships. A lot of the ladies that come into, and I'm going to speak for the local center that I volunteer at, a lot of these ladies that come in, they are young. But we have ladies from all walks of life, and at a lot of ages. I actually had a woman that was in her upper 30s that was pregnant and came into the center. But these resource classes are available to them. We also provide abortion counseling for those who have experienced abortions and are suffering from the ill effects of that, and so they can come and receive counseling to walk them through the healing process. 50 million abortions since Roe versus Wade. That's a lot of blood on our land and a lot of hurting women out there. And they need help. They need healing. So we provide the abortion counseling for them. And the other thing is we provide free ultrasounds. That is what I actually do. I do counseling as a client advocate as well, but I'm there primarily to do, as an RN, to do ultrasounds, and I love it. And just a few experiences I want to share. Some are happy and some are sad. One of the saddest experiences I had was with a young girl came in. They come into the center. They fill out some initial paperwork. And at the bottom of that paperwork, there's a question, and it asks, have you ever had any abortions? And you say yes or no, and she wrote down yes, and it said, and then there's another question, and it says, have you ever experienced any consequences, either physical or emotional, from your abortion? And this young woman put yes. She had had 4 abortions, and she had 2 small children, and she was pregnant again. And that question that asked her if she had suffered any consequences, you can write down what they are, and she did. And she put down regret and guilt. I spent 45 minutes in a counseling room with this young woman, and one of the highlights of being able to meet with these women is to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And sometimes you get that opportunity, and they are so hungry, and sometimes they are so hard, and the effects of sin have just created this hard shell around them, and they don't want to hear anything about Jesus, anything about the Bible, anything like that. But with this particular girl, I got to share Christ with her. I got to pray with her. She was so scared. These women come in, they're scared, they're confused, and she hadn't told anybody. She was living with her mom and her dad, and she knew that they would be furious with her. The father of the baby was pressuring her to abort another abortion that would make 5. She, after meeting with her, she decided she was going to go home and tell her mom. Tell her mom how she felt, how these previous abortions affected her. I encouraged her to talk to her mom. So she went, she talked to her mom. The next week, I called her, and I said, did you get a chance to talk to your mom? How are you doing? How did it go? She says, yes, my mom is supportive. I said, praise God. We made an appointment for her to come in for an ultrasound. The next week, she didn't show. So I called, and the number was disconnected. Usually when that happens, they abort their baby. And what is sad is that this poor woman will just pile on more regret and more guilt. So that was probably one of the saddest experiences I've had. A very surprising experience I've had has been several years ago, my daughters began to befriend some kids in the youth group that were coming that were new. They were unchurched kids. They reached out to them. These kids started to come to my home. One happened to be a particular girl. And she stuck around for a little while, and then she kind of moved on. She got involved in a relationship, and we didn't see her anymore. We didn't see her at church. We didn't see her at youth group. But my daughter Lydia continued to reach out to her, and not too long ago, just a few months ago, she confided in Lydia that she was pregnant. And I encouraged Lydia to encourage her to come to Thrive. And so she has come to Thrive. I have gotten to do an ultrasound on her, and she's coming in this week and starting resources classes with me, where I get to one-on-one work with this young girl and put into her life good things. So pray for her. But that was very surprising. Somebody that was in my own home, my kids were befriending and reaching out to here. The situation is close to home. And then I guess really the happiest and the joyous moments are those being able to share Christ with these women. And there are a couple that, 2 women in particular, one never saw an ultrasound. Some of these women are so uneducated, they don't even know how they got pregnant. They don't know. They don't know how their cycle works. They don't know. And but she saw this ultrasound, and she could not believe her eyes. We like to do ultrasounds around 12 weeks. At 12 weeks, you can see absolutely everything. Baby's heart starts beating at 18 days. By 9 weeks old, they have every body part, and from that point on, it just grows bigger. And at 12 weeks, you can just see these babies are about 2.5 inches long, and they are just moving around, arms, legs, suck their thumbs and do somersaults. And anyways, this young girl was blown away to see her baby. And she just started crying. She's like, oh my gosh, it is a baby. It is a baby. And I said, yes, it is. She kept her baby. And then another one who just couldn't fathom the thought of parenting a baby chose adoption. And she did so after she saw her baby on the ultrasound. So those are a few experiences. I am so happy to say that I am not the only client advocate that is volunteering at the St. Peter Center. We have Susie Snyder. Will you please stand, Susie? She is also does ultrasounds there at Thrive on Monday evenings. And we have Lorena Linville. She is new. She has recently went through the training. It's intense training. You go through a manual called Equipped to Serve. Lorena, stand up. Thank you so much. I appreciate you ladies very much giving your time, your energy to this important, vital ministry. And I have something for you. I have a couple books for you guys just to show appreciation. There's one called True to Life and Killer Angel, and I'll give those to you later. But thank you. And I just wanted to acknowledge them. There are a lot of ways you can serve or you can participate with this organization. Obviously, you can pray. Most of the people who give their time there are volunteers, and they need wisdom when they meet with these clients that come in. So pray. Pray for this ministry. Pray for the Best Choice program to get into schools. Pray for the board. Pray for the director and the directors of the centers. My director, her name is Myrna Conrad. She's a great woman of God. I am so blessed to have her in my life. Pray for them. And another way you can participate is you can give financially. In the back, there is, in the center on the table there, there's some Thrive information. There are envelopes if you'd like to give financially. As you know, with the economic downturn, many ministries are suffering financially. Thrive is suffering financially. Another thing you can do is you can just go to the St. Peter Center, buy 10 packages of diapers, and take them there. And say, here, if you have baby items that are in good condition, you can donate them. Another aspect or part of the center is that we have a store. And when these ladies go through these resource classes, they accrue points. And these points allow them to obtain different items in our store. There's clothes, there's baby formula, diapers, wipes, baby furniture, strollers, high chairs, things like that. So, it's not just a handout. It's a hand up. They have to do the classes. So anyways, I'm really blessed to be part of that ministry. There are some free pens and bracelets with the website, which is www.thrivestlewis.org. And then I actually, when I went through the training, the ultrasound training, I had a gentleman ask me, could you put out a newsletter every now and then just to inform what's going on? And so what I did, I decided to do a blog. So, there it is. Yeah. So I started it in June. I have to be very careful. I cannot use names, but I have probably done a post once a month since June. So this last one I did was I've been working with some 16-year-olds. One's a junior in high school. One is a sophomore in high school. They're pregnant and not married. And I've been working with them in resource classes. So that's what that post is about. So visit my site. If you do, comment. I would love to know that you visited. And please pray for Thrive. If you have any questions, you want to volunteer in any aspect, you can see me, and I'd be happy to kind of guide your way. And one more plug is we need some guys. Guys, if there is such an opportunity for you to minister. So if that God lays that on your heart, we need men to reach out to these fathers of babies. So thank you.
We appreciate what Diane's doing and Susie and Lorena. It's awesome to see God's body reaching out to minister to these women. Our next speaker is Barb Quigley. I've known Barb for a number of years, had the privilege of interviewing her on the Encounter program, and she's the co-founder and executive director of the Center for Bioethics and Culture, Missouri. She's taught classes at high school level, college, and seminary level. She has a BA from St. Mary's College. She has an MA in bioethics from Trinity International University, and of course, she is also an RN. So, Barb, would you please come on up? Let's welcome Barb.
Good to see you again. Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this morning. I know there's a lot of different groups that are concerned about life issues that you could choose from, and so I appreciate that you included the work of the Center for Bioethics and Culture this morning. The center has been around for 10 years. Our focus is to assist Christians in understanding and responding to the wide variety of issues that threaten human life and dignity. In addition to abortion, we're talking about the impact of various reproductive technologies, assisted suicide and euthanasia, a lot of life manipulative issues. And the reason I do what I do is because what is at stake in our culture today is the redefinition of what it means to be human. It is simply, as we see, for example, in the issue of abortion, there are some people who are considered worthy of life and human dignity and respect, and others whose lives are outside of that group. We see that also in a lot of the other issues that the center deals with, that there are those individuals whose lives are deemed less worthy of respect, of dignity, of caring, and we feel it's our mission to help advocate on behalf of those people, to encourage the church to understand and respond to the issues. We do this in a variety of ways. Education, primarily. We have programs such as the class I'm teaching right now at the Pillar Foundation for Homeschool High School Students, a series of classes, a basic overview of bioethics. I'm currently doing a Sunday school series at another church on this same topic. There are three of us, a theologian from Covenant Seminary, a physician from Washington University, and I, who have what we call a sort of bioethics roadshow. We take that around. We go to various churches and do either a series on Sunday mornings or a special program where each of us contributes that information that we bring to help the church understand what's at stake and to be able to respond. I like to think of what we do in relationship to the command in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I see our role as assisting the church in the transformation of our mind, of our worldview. So the issues that we face in our culture are worldview-driven. And though what we're dealing with is one aspect of that, which is the bioethics arena, so those life issues of abortion, assisted suicide, euthanasia, infanticide, reproductive technology, transhumanism, which is the remaking of human life into some new and different form. These are all driven by worldview assumptions. And my concern is for the church to identify their worldview, not just as simply a group of intellectual beliefs that they hold, but worldview is a matter of our lives. And how do our lives demonstrate the fact that they have been conformed to the image of Christ and actually work out a worldview? So what the center does in terms of trying to have an impact is through educational programs for Christians in churches, special events. We have also offered programs in a secular setting at Washington University, the School of Medicine, the School of Law, St. Louis University, and we have served as a resource to the state legislature and have offered our expertise in relationship to expert testimony on various bills and their impact, trying to represent a Christian worldview in the secular arena as well. So the kinds of things that you can do to help what we're doing is to pray for us, to pray for opportunities, to teach in the Christian context, to penetrate the culture. We have various web-based resources, educational materials, and links to other programs and that are similar to our own. We are a nonprofit organization, therefore that means we survive based on the gifts, donations of individuals and groups who support what we do. And I think that's really all I want to say. I want to encourage you. We just did a program Friday night and Saturday in North County for a group of pro-life pastors and the members of their congregation. And over and over again, as each of us presented what we had to say in terms of our part of the bioethics discussion, the dominant theme was a worldview theme. And I just want to encourage you to reflect on what you believe and take a look in your own life to see, in relationship to life issues, but more broadly, how does how you live reflect the beliefs and values that you say you hold? And how can you translate that in the culture by being salt and light? And not only, we're concerned not only with the choices individuals are making, but also with opportunities that individuals can take to impact the culture from the top down. So we're trying to have an impact from the bottom up in the transformation of individual lives and their response to the truth of Scripture and in its application to these life issues, and from the top down in terms of influencing leaders, equipping leaders to be able to respond in a biblical way when the issues confront them. So thank you very much.
I have a lot of respect for Barb and her work. You should take a chance after church to talk with her. She's extremely knowledgeable about this topic. And you know, as we look at the pro-life issue, as it's called, a lot of us think of one word, abortion. It is so much bigger than that. The future is a little bit scary. When you look at the technology that's there and the kind of things that are being talked about in various bioethic journals, this is the kind of thing that Barb keeps up on and is trying to keep the Church of Christ abreast of these developments as they impact how we need to live out our biblical pro-life ethic. Our next speaker is Joe Orworth. Many of you know Joe. He's a well-known politician in our area. He served 6 terms as state representative in Missouri, 3 terms as the county executive of St. Charles. Currently, Joe is the executive director of the Missouri Family Policy Council, and it's a state-level organization that's associated with Focus on the Family. And the mission of the Family Council is to promote Christian values in the culture and biblical principles in state government that support and strengthen the traditional family. So let's welcome Joe.
Good morning, and Pastor, thank you very much. I'm grateful for the privilege to share some time with you this morning as you observe Respect Life Sunday. And I want to thank Tom McKnight for the invitation to be with you and pray God's blessing on his ministry on behalf of families. And I'm grateful for the leadership of your pastor. As you all know, he has been a strong voice on behalf of righteousness in the public arena and biblical justice, the whole principle of biblical justice, and we're grateful for his voice being a reliable one and a voice of great wisdom. As we reflect during this period of the year on these many years since Roe versus Wade, we certainly go through the mourning experience of the 50 million plus lives who've been lost and the countless women who've been hurt and wounded and victimized for life because of the deceitfulness of abortion. But at the same time, I am able to stand before you today and say, for the first time in decades, that there is great promise and hope for the pro-life movement. For the first time since the very years right after Roe versus Wade, poll after poll is showing that more Americans say that they are pro-life than not, which is a huge change in the public sentiment and the current of public opinion. It's really fascinating to see how this has evolved over time. What's even more interesting about this is the fact that those polls show that the younger the demographic, the more pro-life the segment of the population is. And that means as young people today grow up, and as they have families of their own, and as they move into decision-making roles in our society and in our government, we have the opportunity to see the pendulum swing back on this issue. And it's very exciting. Now, there are reasons, and we're going to get into them shortly, that a lot of this is probably true, and Diane spoke to a lot of it just a minute ago. But let me just, first of all, again, frame a little bit about our organization. We are one of 36 state organizations across the country that are affiliated with Focus on the Family. We work on the state government level to impact public policy on behalf of Christian values and beliefs in the same way that Focus on the Family does that nationally. We work not just to impact the culture, to try to see that Christian values are seen and heard and understood in the culture, but also to work with our legislators directly to impress upon them the fact that while they're elected by constituents, that first and foremost they need to seek their counsel and the Lord above and to answer first and foremost to Him. It's been interesting to see how this plays out as somebody who served in public life previously myself for 24 years and to work with legislators in this kind of way. Because what we're trying to do, of course, is to encourage from each of you and to nurture in you the best attributes of Christian citizenship as our founding fathers envisioned, but also to foster in our legislators the best attributes of Christian statesmanship. And you and I both know that we need more and more of that in the halls of government today. There are three areas of concentration that the Missouri Family Policy Council works on. One is the whole sanctity of human life area. One is the issue of the traditional family, traditional marriage, traditional parenting. And thirdly is the subject of religious liberty. And I'm going to touch on each of these briefly. In the area of pro-life, as Barb spoke to and as you just heard, the issues are very complicated, much more involved because of the technology of the day. On the subject of abortion itself, Missouri for many, many years was one of the leading states in enacting legislation on this subject. Unfortunately, for a number of reasons, we've kind of fallen back to the middle of the pack. The one thing we are working very hard to do in our state is to try to pass a law common now in many other states that requires that before a woman undergoes an abortion, that she is given the opportunity to view an ultrasound of her child. You've heard of the significance of the ultrasound. It has changed the entire debate on abortion. No longer can the abortion industry hide the fact that this is a human life. And now that individuals, particularly the women involved, have a window into the womb, they can no longer talk about this as the contents of the uterus anymore or as fetal material. When a woman sees that child moving, hears the heartbeat, she knows this is another human life, and she establishes almost immediately an emotional connection with that child. 70-80% or more of women who see an ultrasound of their child choose to carry that child to term. The abortion industry, unfortunately, in Missouri, continues to benefit from the fact that we don't have a law that ensures that women are told the truth when they walk into an abortion clinic. A few years ago, we passed a law known as the Women's Right to Know Act, but unfortunately, because the law really wasn't drafted very well, women still don't know much more than they did before. Our objective is to change that, and we are hoping that this session of the legislature, that it will finally occur. Secondly, I touched on, and I'm just going to take this opportunity to mention these other issues, the subject of the traditional family. Missouri, fortunately, is a state that has a constitutional amendment that declares what we all know to be true and what God intended and designed, that marriage be between a man and a woman. The fact also is, though, that Missouri's law did not preclude civil unions from being established in our state. And that is the strategy that the homosexual movement is working to advance now in this country, short of marriage, to try to establish civil unions in the law. You know what just happened in Iowa, a state that you would never expect this to happen in, where the Supreme Court of Iowa unanimously declared that it was unconstitutional for marriage to be restricted to a man and a woman. It's right on our doorstep, folks. And right now there is a court case going on in California, which many people are concerned may prove to be the Roe versus Wade of this issue, that if this court in California strikes down California's law, it could go all the way to the Supreme Court, and just like Roe versus Wade, lead to striking down marriage laws all across the country. I urge you to pray fervently on this issue as this court prepares to render its decision. The last subject is religious liberty. I could talk a long time about this. You know the degree to which secular interests in our culture have taken advantage of what is very, very faulty constitutional theory that there is supposed to be a separation between church and state. You know that it's not in the Constitution. You know that it was manufactured by the courts. And the result of it has been an attempt to remove God from government altogether. And you know what happens. It's pretty much a logical consequence. If you remove God from government, what kind of government do we have? An ungodly government. Now, in addition to the work that we do in lobbying legislators and advancing issues of public policy before them, I want to emphasize the other part of what we do. And I see Jim Day here, and he knows a good friend of his and mine, Carrie Messer from the Missouri Family Network. How many of you know Carrie? We approach what we do in Jefferson City in the same fashion that Carrie does. We view ourselves there not just as Christian advocates and lobbyists, but as ministers of the gospel. It is vital for the church to understand, if we are going to be making disciples of all nations, if we are going to be engaged in evangelism and outreach, the last group that we want to neglect are our leaders and our lawmakers and our elected officials. We work very determinedly in Jefferson City to be of spiritual encouragement, of pastoral support, of prayer partnership with our elected officials. You know as well as I do that they hear from constituents, they read what's in the newspaper and on the blogs. We want to pull their attention away from all of that and get them to focus on what is God speaking to your heart about the mission that he has given you in public life and how can you fulfill it. That's what I would encourage you to do from where you sit, is to pray for these legislators, but to realize that developing a personal relationship with them, which you can do, where you actually pray with them and pray in agreement with them, is an incredibly powerful way to impact them, not just with regard to the decisions they make, but with regard to the very salvation itself. I speak that from experience, because when I was a legislator, I went to the legislature, ran for the General Assembly because I wanted to work on behalf of Christian values. But it wasn't till years into my time, as I was ministered to by a woman and her husband from a church in this county, from the issues awareness team of that church. And as I watched her and her husband and got to know her and her husband, I will make this testimony short. I came to realize that she knew a Jesus that I didn't know. I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. And I was able to, as this big shot politician, deal with a question that had been posed to me many times, but able to receive that question with tenderness for the first time. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? And I finally arrived in an hour in the emptiness of being caught up in public life to realize, no, he was not Lord of my life. I was in charge. In fact, politicians don't want to just be in charge of their own life. They want to run everybody else's life. God certainly wasn't the Lord of my life. And I finally was brought to the time and the place where I recognized how self-centered I was, that I thought I was the general in the battle, and that I just needed the Lord to show up to slay the enemy. And what he needed me to do was sit down and let him fight the battle. You've heard of different ways that you can be of support and encouragement to the pro-life movement. I strongly encourage you to be supportive in ways that you can of groups like Thrive St. Louis, like Birthright. I currently serve on the board of directors of Thrive St. Louis, and I am extremely grateful for people like Diane and all of our volunteers who are doing work on the front lines. And I want to emphasize how important that is, how important what Diane does is. Because I've spent all these years since I was a teenager in the pro-life movement working to educate and persuade. Yet what Diane and the people at Thrive do in presenting the gospel message in the heart of Jesus to women in this situation is a life-changing thing. Our goal is not just to save the human lives of unborn children, but to save their souls and the souls of their mothers. Because if you don't do that, these women are right back in the same situation again, and you just heard Diane describe a fourth time, or even more. If women are not moved out of that lifestyle, they're right back in the same situation again. They need the light of the mercy of the Lord's love in their lives. And once that revelation comes into their heart, they don't have questions about this issue anymore. You don't have to educate them anymore. You don't have to persuade them anymore. The Holy Spirit speaks to them. The victory occurs in these rooms, where people like Diane are the heart of the Lord to these women, and it's awesome. I urge you also to be vigilant and aware. There's a lot of focus on what goes on in Washington, and you can be aware of some things that are going on here in your local community. What happens in Jefferson City is a lot of times out of sight, out of mind. Our organization sends out an electronic newsletter each week to let people know about what's going on in Jefferson City, issues that you need to be aware of, people you need to specifically pray for, and yes, people you need to contact. It's important to know when to call, when to email, when to have an impact at the time that issues are ripe. You just saw what happened in Washington with one simple election, in a state that nobody expected this to come out of. And you can see how just that one election has changed the entire tenor of the debate on this federal health care bill, which would, for the first time, require that the people of this country pay through their taxes for the killing of unborn children. Is it dead in its tracks? We don't know. Certainly it's pretty shaky. But it shows you that our voices can make a difference, that our prayers can make an even greater difference. And I would encourage you to continue to give your wholehearted attention to this issue, because time is on our side and the truth is with us. And as long as we continue to be faithful to the Lord of truth, the victory can be ours. Folks, thank you very much.
Amen. God is good. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you for the work you're doing through these here and through many thousands and thousands of your servants throughout this land. We know, Jesus, that your body is literally your mouth, your hands, your feet. And Lord, for people to see you in our society, they need to see your body. And we thank you for Joe's work at the legislative level. We thank you for Barb's work at the educational level. We thank you for Diane and Lorena's work on the practical level. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in every sphere of our culture. We pray, God, for your blessing to be upon each one of their labors. We ask that you would increase the fruit of their hands. We pray for laws to be passed. We ask for minds to be changed. We ask for children to be saved. Lord, we do know, as Joe reminded us at the end, that ultimately, God, this is a rescue operation, not just for children and even for women's lives or even for the traditional family. It's a rescue mission for souls. So we ask that through the labor of these here and many others that they represent, we ask, dear God, that you would save souls for Jesus. And do it for his glory, we pray. Amen. All right, thank you.